Hey, this is Hutch Harris, and you're listening to
Hey, I missed you guys. Let's see if I still remember how to do this. Hello, friends. Welcome to Mostly Harmless. I'm your host, Dammit Damien. I'm back with yet another series of Mostly Harmless episodes. We're kicking things off this week with Hutch Harris, who you may know from his work as the lead singer of the Thermals. He's back with a DIY, self-produced, self-released record called Suck Up All the Oxygen, and we're going to talk about that and know so much more today. Hutch actually helped indirectly influence me to quit my fancy little restaurant manager day job. So I think I might be having a midlife crisis. I'm 40 years old. I'm restarting my podcast and I'm still doing the same shit I was doing at 16 years old. Hell, I'm still weird. I'm still awkward. I've still got diarrhea of the mouth. That hasn't gotten any better. And isn't it supposed to be embarrassing to try to make it at something creative like this at my age? But more and more I've found through medication and daily mindfulness routine, I just don't feel so fucking desperate to make it anymore. I've been able to reconnect and find that joy that I once had as a 16-year-old kid writing on internet message boards about punk rock and bands and interviewing people and just hammering away at the keyboard and letting my thoughts out. It's a really nice feeling to have my head feel this clear. And for the first time in years, I really want to jump back in and restart to do this stuff. I chose Hutch Harris for this first episode back for serendipitous reasons. Every night at work cleaning the fryers, I would hear the Thermal song Here's Your Future repeated in my head over and over and over again. And it's not that I didn't like my restaurant manager job. It had its challenges that I really don't think I was up for, but it was a good job. But I just couldn't get over the idea that I was missing something else. An opportunity came to move across the country with my partner in crime, Claire, and I decided to jump on that, and Hutch Harris and the Thermals and Here's Your Future helped inspire that. When I saw that Hutch put out a new solo record, again, it's called Suck Up All the Oxygen, I decided maybe I could talk him into being on the show and restarting this thing, and holy shit, he said yes. I still can't believe it. I had a cold. I'm sniffling the whole time. There's so much nervousness. I drink so much coffee. I edited a lot of my rambling out. I left a good amount in, but really, I think my weirdness and my awkwardness really like kind of got some cool stuff out of Hutch. So please bear with us as I figure out the new schedule and what this new podcast is going to be. But buddies, if you like this, please go to mostlyharmlesspodcast.com or dammitdamien.com. Sign up for the email list and be in touch, because I'm gonna turn this thing into like some kind of email zine thing, whatever. I don't know yet. I just know I fucking love doing this and I'm never going to stop. So with that said, let's go chat with Mr. Hutch Harris about his new record, Suck Up All the Oxygen.
How's it going?
It's good, man. How are you?
Good.
Do you just want to just jump right into it?
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks for hanging out and chatting with me today. I haven't had a chat like this in about a year. I just kind of hit a wall with what I was doing before and just kind of put a pause to it. And then, I'm actually really kind of nervous to sit and chat with you today. It probably doesn't help that I've been chugging coffee all morning long, but you know,
no, this will be cool.
I just wanted to treat this as kind of like a electronic coffee date between two individuals.
Cool.
Cool. Kind of take some of the pressure off of it.
If cool.
You know what I mean, Hutch, how the hell are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
Great, man. How are you celebrating this Veterans Day or Armistice Day or Kurt Vonnegut's birthday?
I actually went to the post office and then they told me they were closed because it's Veterans Day. So I forgot. Isn't it usually on a Monday? I thought all holidays were on a Monday.
I think Veterans Day is just always 11/11. That's the only reason right. I can remember it.
Right.
What were you sending off at the post office today?
Just more records, just selling records, shipping records. There it is.
Yeah. I mean, we're not going to use the video for this, but I've got it right here. Your new record.
Okay.
Suck Up All the Oxygen.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic record. I discovered it late one night. I was sitting here enjoying many adult beverages. Maybe I had been enjoying some of my preventative glaucoma medicine, if you get what I'm saying. And I saw your Facebook ad through the Thermals page, and it was like, Hutch has a new record out.
I stopped everything that I was doing and I bought it right then and there.
Oh, cool. I was wondering if anyone even sees those. So that's good to know.
Yeah. That one ad, that absolutely worked. And I was, you know, right mindset, right frame of mind, right place, right time. And it worked. So I know it is frustrating spending, you know, however much money on Facebook ads and then not seeing any anything from it. So I got the record. I love it. Sweet. It inspired me to start interviewing people again.
Oh, cool.
Here we are. So,
that's great.
Many of my listeners, like I talking to friends and family, I'm like, I think I'm going to interview Hutch from the Thermals. But the Thermals, of course, aren't a band anymore at the moment, right?
Right. It's been like 3 or 4 years, I think.
Yeah. A number of my friends were not aware that you guys were no longer like technically together. Do you mind telling us real quick what happened there at the end of the Thermals, just to catch people up who may not know?
Yeah, it's just the last record we did was in 2016, and then we toured not as much as we usually did for records. You know, we toured most of that year, I think. And then just like a year or so later, I was like, I think that's good enough for me. I wanted to leave it. I wanted to stop doing it because I felt if I didn't stop doing it, it was just going to be the same for the next, whatever, 30 years, whatever, till we stopped doing it. And I felt that my life and my creative life were just going to be kind of a flat line for the rest of my life if I didn't stop doing the band and do something different. So I just told, you know, I told the band that, and they weren't like thrilled, but they understood. I felt like it had a good run and I just kind of needed to do something else at the end.
I've been getting Here's Your Future stuck in my head every night at work.
Oh, nice.
I'm a restaurant manager and I close a lot, and most nights I end up cleaning the fryers.
Uh-huh.
So I'm cleaning the fryer and just, I keep getting the song Here's Your Future stuck in my head. And I was like, is this really what I want to do? And that kind of I have this unique talents for being weird on the microphone and asking people questions, and people seem to like it. So I was like, maybe we should try to do that again. And then that song just kept going through my head and going through my head. And today, actually, right before we sat down to talk, I gave my boss my final day notice.
Oh, you did. Cool.
And while I was doing that, I was listening to Here's Your Future.
Oh, there you go.
And then because I'd been listening to the Thermals so much, the Facebook algorithm popped up this record. And then I was like, I'm going to hit up Hutch and see if he wants to chat. And here we are chatting. So
nice.
I feel like that somehow ties into your story for ending the band. How scary was it ending this thing that had been such a big part of you for so long?
It was fine. I knew what it was going to be like. I just knew that I was kind of going to be like in the weeds after, or in a valley of some kind. Just because we were so comfortable doing it for so long and it paid all the bills. So I knew I was going to kind of go to a place where I didn't have that, you know, or I wasn't going to be supported in that same way by doing music and by playing shows. But also I was so sick of touring. Like I didn't want to get back in the van for like another 6 months or 8 months a year. I just like couldn't. To me, that I wanted my life to be more artistic and more creative. And the only way I saw to do that was to quit the band, because so much of what the band and what bands do is not creative and not artistic. Like, which is like sitting in a van for 8 or 10 hours a day and loading gear and like playing shows are great, but that's only like 1 hour out of 24 hours a day. And the rest of the time you're not doing that that much creative stuff. And I had like gotten some, like a lot of writing and stuff done on the road, but it wasn't enough for me. So like now I don't make as much money off it now, but I have a way more creative and like productive artistic life.
Yeah. I just turned 40 years old. My best friend just moved back to town. In our 20s and early 30s, we would sit around in coffee shops and talk about how we could make it doing our art forms, whether it be playing in bands, interviewing bands, any number of those things that are part of this community. And now rather it's like, I did all that. We all beat our heads against the walls. And now I keep finding myself coming back to this, but not not to make it, but just because I can't stop writing or interviewing bands or annoying people with microphones. Is it much the same for you? Is that just a thing that you can't stop doing no matter what? Is making?
Yeah, I love writing songs and recording songs and playing songs. And that's why touring was like artistic death for me, because you're not doing for any of that. Like, I like being home. I like being in my studio, writing and recording. And then I can spend every day, all day, if I want to, just working on songs. I don't have to go anywhere. It's not even though that I can't stop. Like, I just don't want to. Like, I just really like working on music. So that's been great.
Yeah. How is it to leave that security behind for the unknown? Like, how do you find that courage to jump out there and do this?
It's hard because the band was way bigger than I ever thought it would be. And I was surprised that it was still doing so well in the, you know, after like 16 years or so. Like I said, it gets to a point where I don't want to be doing it just for the money. And the thing is, I still did like doing the band. It just felt like it was going to be the same. It had been kind of the same for a while. And I knew it wasn't going to be like super fun to stop, you know, to stop getting paid to play shows. And, you know, when the pandemic came, I was like, well, I mean, this is fine. We weren't going to be playing shows anyway. I'm sure it would have been like, it would have sucked, you know, for all the bands that had like, you know, 6 months of touring planned and then all got canceled. I'm sure that was, that sucked. But for me, I was like, well, I'm kind of glad I didn't have anything planned anyway.
I actually tried to make a living. I wasn't very successful with it, but I did try to make a living through my art, through my journalism stuff. And I wasn't very happy with it. I was actually pretty miserable. I was always looking at the numbers and just shaking my head and like, how do I get more and more and more? Yeah. Now I'm coming back to this at a place where I don't care about numbers. I don't care about who's listening or who's watching. And I find it so much more freeing, and the pressure's gone. So I feel like I'm actually allowed to actually create stuff I want to create. Do you find it similar for yourself when you're making things without this thing hanging over you?
There was never a time in the Thermals where I felt like I was doing anything for anyone else. Like, it was always...
Congrats.
When we were writing songs and recording, it was always to please ourselves first. And there was never anything we did where we didn't like the result, but we knew other people were going to like it. Like, and a lot of times it was the opposite. Like, knowing that, like, well, this record's not going to be, like, super commercial, but we like it a lot. So I'm kind of just still working under the, working in that same way, which is I'm just going to do what I like. And then if other people like it, that's great.
Yeah. How do you figure out how to make things for yourself first? Because I've always made things for other people and myself, I've been second. Right. How do you figure out how to make things for yourself?
I mean, I think just since I started playing music, you know, like in high school, I just kind of knew what I liked. I mean, a lot of it is knowing your limitations and know what you can do. Like, I don't shred. It's not that I dislike shredding, but I don't like aim to, and I never directed myself in that way. Like, I have always been concerned with songs over musicianship. Like, I like listening to songs, and I'm usually not, I like a good drummer or something, but I'm not usually blown away by someone's musicianship. I just am blown away usually by songs that are like, if I really like the vibe of the song or like the lyrics of a song. So that's what I'm just usually trying to make songs that I think are great. And I'm not trying to like impress anyone or impress myself with how good I can play. Like, my playing has, I got to a certain point where I was able to write and like record and track the songs that I like, but I'm not usually working on getting better as a musician. I'm just trying to work better on getting better as a writer.
Yeah. Well, let me ask, do you write songs or do you channel songs? Like, are they already out there and you're the conduit, or do you actually sit down and create the, you know, verse, chorus, repeat?
I think both. Sometimes I do feel like you're kind of channeling stuff that's in the ether or wherever. But a lot of times I'm trying. I mean, sometimes, you know, you can start with a very small bit, like a melody will come to you, or just a line. I mean, these days I'm trying to write songs where there's like a really strong chorus. And so now I just start, I'm trying to find one line that will describe, you know, that will be the chorus, that will be the title of the song, and kind of describe explain to you what this song is going to be exactly about, as opposed to something more vague, which I feel like I have done before. And so with the new record, I was just trying to make very clear titles and choruses so people would know exactly what the song is about.
Yeah. Really, I do really, really enjoy the new record. One thing that jumped out at me, it wasn't very, I listened to a record 3 or 4 times before it really sinks in. And last night it dawned on me just how fucking dark this record is. Because
yeah, for sure.
It's a very, very poppy record. Getting instant anxiety stuck in my head. But yesterday I really listened. Like, I mean, I granted COVID-19, we're in the middle of a pandemic. It's dark times. But how do you make something so dark that's also so poppy?
It had to be poppy, because if you just have those titles and lyrics without the songs being like fun and poppy, it would be super depressing. But if you have kind of dark titles and dark lyrics with super, if the music's like poppy and really like up, then I think you can get away with it and it won't be a bummer. Like I wasn't trying to make a bummer record. I was trying to make a record that I thought was realistic. But obviously there's a lot of like negative lyrics, but at the same time, that's not how I feel all the time. It's just kind of about taking the darkest thoughts that you have and expressing them, but kind of like in a fun way. And that was what the Thermals is about too. There's a lot of dark material, but to me, it's not presented as like, it's not wallowing. It's more just like accepting that everything's kind of fucked up, but not letting it bum you out too hard.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of, yeah, I mean, it's Kurt Vonnegut's birthday today, and he was an absurdist writer, and I like absurdist fiction, and it does seem like there is a some kind of channeling that absurdity that's existing in the world right now.
Yeah, I love him. I think I read most of his books. Galapagos was really huge for me, and that was like when writing The Body, the Blood Machine, that was a huge like inspiration for me. The whole idea that people would get to a point where they would de-evolve. I really like that. But yeah, there's so many books of his that I loved.
Do you consider yourself like an absurdist writer, or is that just what kind of came out for this record?
No, I mean, I consider myself I think that I write pop music, even though it doesn't exactly come out that way. Like, it's definitely not the pop music that we know now, you know, it's not what pop music is, like mainstream pop music, but it's to me like a classic, I don't know. I mean, really, I should consider myself more of like a folk, like what I make is folk music. Everything that I do is written on acoustic guitar. It's all just simple open chords. And it's just kind of, I write songs that I hope would be like very American and very timeless too.
When you have writer's block, when things aren't coming out of you the way you would like, do you have any tips or tricks that you use to break through that block, to get the creative juices flowing?
I just stop. Usually I don't think there's anything, not for me, there's nothing you can do to just like, you can't force your way through it. Sometimes I'll go just like take a walk. I mean, I got the dog, so we're walking like half the day anyway. But like, yeah, definitely like staring at the problem, I don't think will help you solve it. You got to kind of step away. But also, you know, most of these songs I was writing were already done before the pandemic. So it just happened to be like a coincidence. I was writing all these like apocalyptic, like negative songs while that was, you know, I was recording all these while the pandemic was going on. But like there were, the pandemic kind of was like, I don't know if it was teaching me, but one thing I started to think was, it doesn't matter if I spend all day in the studio working and recording, or if I don't do it at all, it just doesn't matter either way. So that, you know, I would work like super hard. You know, some of the songs came really fast. And then sometimes I would work for like a month on just one song just every day. And it would still, it wasn't making it any better. It's just like some songs need more time. And then some songs I just had to like step away from and not work on for months at a time.
And then eventually
I used to feel guilty. Or, yeah, I think a lot of people beat yourself up like, oh, I just need to be doing this every day and I'm just wasting time if I'm not doing it. And yeah, it's great to like work on something all the time, but it's also just doesn't matter if you don't do it.
Well, and we also all have different creative batteries. Like I don't have the same creative battery that you do or Stephen King.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
I mean, everyone needs to find out what works for themselves. And that can take a long time to figure out. And it can also change for you. Like, yeah, it just changes. I think you have to just constantly pay attention to what you're doing. And then also just to like step away from it when you need to.
And that's what I think, you know, me coming back with this microphone at 40 is I'm afraid I'm having a midlife crisis. So I want to talk to people like you who are still being active and creative and maybe glean some advice and ideas from you guys. So thanks for I have been walking a little bit more and that has been helping. What else do you find helps you in your creative pursuit?
I mean, I think for me, like being like getting up early is much better. Like being on a schedule where you go to sleep early and wake up early is just for me creatively. I don't drink. I used to drink coffee all day. And now I just drink one cup in the morning because anything more is just like too much. And but I used to just like drink it till like 7 at night and then just lie there like wondering why I couldn't fall asleep at night. I think it's, you don't always feel like getting to work on whatever you're doing, but a lot of times I think just once you do it, once you crack it open and then start working on it, you can kind of start feeling good about it and get some momentum going. But also I think if you like wake up like, okay, I'm gonna get this done today and you start doing it and it's just going poorly, I think it's just fine to step away from it. I mean, unless you're on a deadline, it just depends. If there's someone breathing down your neck and you need to do the thing to get paid, then you just have to do it. For a year or two, I worked on like some TV stuff for Amazon Studios. And that like definitely changed the way I work because there were just deadlines where it would be like, you have to redo the lyrics for this song and we need it now. And it's like near the end of the day. And I would be like, shit. And then I would just do it. Like if you absolutely have to do something, you will do it. And sometimes it'll be good and sometimes it won't, but that's part of the creative process anyway. Like, you know, like everything, when you're like working for someone else in that way, usually what they want is so unrealistic. They'll be like, it has to be the greatest song you've ever written and you have to do it like today, like in the next couple hours. And so you're like, you know, that's impossible, but then you'll just do it. And working on, you know, I wrote so much for those projects that at the end of them, I had all this music left over and a lot of it was really good. A lot of it I used in the thermals and I just used for my own stuff because I had just been like, there was no choice. It wasn't like, oh, I don't feel like it today. I'm just going to, you know, slack off. It was like, you have to, you know, that song was great. Now we need like three more to like make to see if there can be a better one. And then, you know, so, and then you'd be like, well, no, like that was the great one. And now here's three, like, you know, songs that are good as well. But just like being forced to create was really good. And then I try to apply that sometimes. Sometimes I'll just be like this, you know, just forcing yourself to do something. It might be great. It might not, but those are your odds. Anytime you make something, it might be great or not.
Yeah. Yesterday, you know, when I was younger, I would try to write and I would just be so unsatisfied if I didn't finish anything by the end of the day. Yesterday, I probably wrote 100,000 words. None of it is exactly usable, but I saved it because you never know when you can go back in and like, oh, this paragraph or this idea works for something totally different. And then, so now I, instead of like hanging myself in shame, it's like, I still wrote 100,000 words.
For sure. Yeah. Whether or not you ever use any of it, but that's great. That's a ton of words too. My God.
Yeah. I could be exaggerating, you know, I'm a clown, so I'm probably just exaggerating, but it was a lot of work. But do you have anything, you know, while we're on that tracking that kind of subject, do you have anything that maybe set around in a drawer unused for a long time, unfinished, that one day you just pulled out, all of a sudden it clicked and it just worked? Any songs, projects like that?
I mean, I have like a box of lyrics that I'll go back to over and over, thinking that something will be usable, and almost never. I don't know if I ever have. Music is different. Music, I have some tracks, and sometimes I'll go back and be like, oh, that's great. I just like couldn't find the right melody or the right lead for it. But yeah, I have so many lyrics that I feel like, wow, one day that's gotta work. And it just doesn't, but I still keep them. And I still, yeah, it's every time I'm like, okay, there's so much. But for music, I don't know why it's different. Music, because music can change so much. Like once you're set with lyrics, like that's really the vibe of the song. But music, like there's so many different, there's a million, you know, whatever. It's endless how many different melodies and lyrics you could put to one piece of music. So sometimes it just takes going back and then finding the right thing to put on top of it all.
Nice. Great advice. So, you know, nothing is necessarily garbage. Something you think is trash can be useful again in the future,
you know? Right, and you just gotta save it just because. Something that I would never throw away. You never know.
Yeah, I'm a hoarder by nature, so stuff like that is very. Ooh. I just finished reading Warren Ellis's book Nina Simone's Gum, about he had saved this piece of gum from Nina Simone for years, and he wrote this wonderful book where. It's about him finding his first accordion, finding his first violin, and then how it all led to this gum that ended up in this art show. And you've got me thinking about like lost treasures. Do you have any lost treasures in your collection, stuff that you've kept on, held on to for over the years that sit on your shelves and hold value for you in that kind of way?
Mostly, no. I'm looking around, almost nothing. I'm a hoarder only for like stuff I've made. Anything else is disposable to me. And I try not to have too much around that I'm not using. Like everything I'm looking around at in here is like an instrument or a speaker or like a recording machine or a pedal. Yeah. It's only like tools. It's only like stuff I would use, in the future. And then, I mean, like books and records and stuff, but I try to be constantly getting rid of stuff because I don't feel like my head is clearer when there's less stuff around me.
I wish I had that instead. Like I'm, looking, right. I'm looking around and like, I have the BMX bike I rode in high school that I haven't ridden in 2 years, but right. It's like, I can't get rid of it because it's like the memories I associate.
Right.
So I'm about to move and the girlfriend is trying to get me to get rid of stuff. And I'm trying to,
right. Think,
I guess you're not helping me with the case of keeping all.
No, I don't have, I mean, to each his own, but I don't have any, you know, I don't have good advice as far as like convincing anyone to keep stuff.
We're almost out of time because I'm trying to make these shorter. Okay. The main reason we're here today, we talked about it a little bit. Let's talk about Suck Up All the Oxygen some more. Let's talk about this new album. What do you want people to know about it?
Right. It's very short, which I think is good these days. I don't know. I mean, I wanted to make just like a nice lo-fi record that was about how much everything sucks, but with like a fun or like a funny attitude to it. Cause I think most of us can agree that like a lot of shit is really fucked up right now. But I don't think it's any reason to get depressed. I don't think it's any reason to get down. I mean, this is not an inspirational record to tell people to change their lives or change the world. It's more of a celebration of how terrible people are and how terrible the world is.
So I shouldn't.
That sells it. But I mean, to me, that sounds pretty fun.
I shouldn't have been influenced then listening to this and Here's Your Future and have quit my job today.
No, I think that is great. Oops. Quitting a job is one of the best feelings in the world. It feels good to get a job when you need one, and then it feels great to get rid of it too.
Earlier, you were talking about quitting the thermals. It just felt like the right time. I'm looking around this restaurant job and I'm like, there are other restaurants I can work at. There are other things I can do. Let's go have some adventures.
Right.
And it was such an easy decision once I like took all of my ego and stuff out of it to just be like, oh, yeah, this is easy to walk away from. And what actually really matters to me, is that how you find your creative pursuits? Like, this is what matters to you these days?
Yeah, or if you see just something, if something strikes me as like a good idea, to like, I don't want to make, I usually don't make a record that's just kind of a collection of songs. I like to have some idea of what the whole record would be about and something that would connect all the songs together. Originally, I was trying to think of, you know, these songs as like theme songs, or really, I was thinking of how so many songs just lie to you. And most songs tell you everything is going to be all right. So I figured we need at least a couple songs that tell you it's not going to be all right. And neither point of view is entirely true, but this was a point of view that I felt we just hadn't heard enough of.
Yeah.
Like, I'm done. I've had enough of songs telling me that everything's going to be fine, even if it is.
It does. When you mentioned theme songs, like, I could see like Life Is Overrated, Instant Anxiety, like opening up some kind of like 90s Malcolm in the Middle style sitcom.
Like, right, right. But with the negative, like the, yeah, with kind of opposite lyrics than one of those. I don't know. Actually, that Malcolm in the Middle song is awesome. I love They Might Be Giants.
Yeah,
I
mean, too.
Life Is Unfair. That's a great.
Yeah.
That's a great hook.
And that's immediately the connection I made as soon as you said that. It was like, oh,
right, yeah, right. That's awesome. Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot.
You recorded this record by yourself. You played guitar, drums,
right,
bass.
Right.
How is it to, you know, do everything yourself? Do it all yourself?
No, it's great. I love it because you pay nothing. You don't pay anyone. And you get full control over everything. It's just difficult to be... You're always listening on for two things, because you're trying to listen to what you're doing, what you're playing, and then you're also trying to listen to the recording. It gets a little, like, getting sounds and stuff is like, it just takes more time is all. Yeah. But like, I have all the time in the world here. I have my 8-track that I do all the drums and guitars on, and so I just have a remote that I drag over to the drum kit, and so then I can just sit at the drum kit and, you know, hit record when I want to. It is nice when someone else is hitting the buttons for you, but then you got to pay that person. And then also you're giving up a little of the control. So I would rather, it's not even the money. I would just rather have the control.
Nice. I get that. What is the collaborative process for working with yourself in that kind of way? Do you have to think as a drummer when you're recording drums and think as a bass player? Like, what's it like to shift?
You just have to know when something is, when it feels good and when it's fun. And so many times I'll record a track and I'll be like, well, that was great, I did that correctly, and then listen back and I'm just like, no, that's just not fun. Doesn't feel fun. Even there's so many times it's just getting the vibe right. Like, you can do something, you know, I'm recording all these songs to a click track, but then I'm just like, okay, so that was correct, that's, everything's on time, the tempo's right, so I didn't miss anything, but just like, is the vibe good? And then when I'm doing, you know, a singing usually comes last or almost last, sometimes the guitar leads will come after. So when I'm doing all the instruments, when I'm listening back, I'm just singing along to it. If it feels good to sing along to it, then I know it's correct, I know it's right, I know the vibe's right. But if I'm trying to sing along and I'm like, this doesn't feel good, it's not fun, then I know I need to go back and retrack whatever I'm working on.
I like that you emphasize fun. Like, how do you, is it fun recording this stuff by yourself?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So much fun. I wouldn't do it if it was a slog. And I can't imagine. I mean, it's hard enough. Even when it's fun, it's still hard to get it right. But yeah, it's, to me, it's super fun, especially when all the basics are done. And there's only like vocals or like guitar solos left to do. That's like so fun to get to that point when you're kind of over the hump of the basic instruments. I think it's super fun. If I'm like playing back a track and it kind of makes me dance around the room, then I know it's right. And if I'm just kind of sitting there like squinting, then I know it's not right yet.
Well, I think that's a pretty good selling point. Is there anything else you want to throw out there about the new record?
No, I think we touched on plenty.
Hopefully that's enough to help sell a copy or two.
Yeah,
more.
Sure.
I really like that you said the word fun, though, because it didn't dawn on me it really is a really fun record. And that's why I listened to it like 10, 12 times. Also, doesn't hurt that it's short and sweet.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And if it's too short, you can just play it again.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for, you know, I'm sorry for being weird and awkward.
No. This has been one of my favorite interviews to do in a while. Seriously.
Oh, cool. Cool. Totally, and I try to play up the Nardwar aspect of my character on these things too, but it gets lost sometimes. Again, I really, really enjoyed this record. It did feel like I was having a late night, maybe manic attack. And I was like, I've got to start this podcast again. Your record was on at the time. And I really had no idea what I was going to do. So thank you for like helping me fumble through this and refine my footing.
No, it's been great. Seriously, it's been great.
I think since this is a podcast, we can play a song at the end of it. I want to play a song.
Sure. Whatever you think.
Well, what song would you, if you had one that was a single, which one would you?
I think Instant Anxiety is a good one to do.
Nice. Which is also your Instagram handle these days.
Yeah.
You still have LPs of this available on your website.
Yeah. Terrace.bandcamp.com.
Will you take this on the road anywhere? I know you don't want to tour, but maybe a couple flyings.
If I have to. Yeah. At some point we'll come back.
Yeah,
I mean,
cool.
When I think it's gone, it reappears to me. Here it comes again, instant anxiety. Anxiety.